Greetings, I'm Rachel.
Howdy, I'm Savannah.
And this is That's What She Said. In season 2, episode 5, titled Halloween, at about 2350, after trying to fire Creed, Michael answers a question to the camera.
Yeah, I went hunting once. Shot the deer in the leg and had to kill it with a shovel. Took about an hour. Why do you ask? How's it going?
Yay!
Salutations.
Salutations. Thinking of all the weird greetings we can possibly think of. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I had a birthday this past week.
You did. You and your twin, Lauren.
Yes, I got to celebrate with my twin, which was lovely because she was in D.C. Mm-hmm. So I came up and we hung out. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was so nice.
Did you guys do anything in D.C., like museums or anything touristy? Or
we did not.
Okay.
We didn't know touristy things this trip. It was mostly like fun things.
Just hanging out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, got some good food.
That's so fun.
No education whatsoever. But it was great.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
My Dundee for the week is birthday.
Bird day.
Bird day.
Don't go into any antique stores.
They'll keep me.
Because old?
Get it? You're old? Oh my gosh, I do feel old though. This is a weird one.
The last year of your 20s.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's coming up for me too later this year, so I'll be feeling that as well.
It's just strange.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if everyone, I don't know. I do think having a young 20s birthday during the COVID pandemic made these years of my life a little funky.
Yeah. Like, probably just, like, you feel like you missed a chunk of your 20s.
A little bit. It's
like blacked out.
Well, yeah, we were just locked down and it was like this crazy, just a weird time. And that's, I think, the young 20s, right? You have this vision, right, of how that's going to go. Mm-hmm. So for better and for worse, but that's it. Yeah. So here we are, 29.
29. Hey.
How about you? How was your week?
My week was great. I do feel as though I have aged 100 years this week.
I aged one, you aged 100.
100, yes. It's been a really long week. I don't know why, but it's finally over and I'm so happy. I have something exciting for my Dundee. I forgot that I ordered this really amazing book about The Office. It's called The Office, The Untold Story of the Greatest Sitcom of the 2000s, which I would agree.
Oh.
It's essentially the Office Bible. It's got notes from the writers, from the cast. It's got like photos of the script and all that, and like some behind the scenes stuff and some great things. So because we're in season 2, I do just want to like share some stuff that's in here. The opening like quote or statement for the season 2 chapter in this book is, it's a love story disguised as a workplace comedy. So it says Dwight needed just a few adjustments when the second season began, but Michael Scott was a very different story. The writers knew he came off as intensely unlikable in the first season, and their primary goal when they started off the second one was to find a way to fix that. So basically they were trying to make Michael more likable. You know, in the second season. And I think we kind of covered that, saying like he has a better hairline in the second season. He's like more physically appealing. And they were kind of trying to write him in a way that was similar to the 40-year-old virgin, like his character in that.
In the first season or the second?
Second season.
Oh, okay. Where he's more sympathetic.
Right, right. And more likable. So it says here that Greg, one of the writers, created a manifesto, like the Unabomber, about how to make Michael less of a dick. The change was he went from being an asshole to being pathetic. And Kate Flannery, who plays Meredith, actually said they learned how to write for him from watching The 40-Year-Old Virgin. So again, kind of based on that pathetic, but yet like sweet and likable character.
Interesting.
Larry Wilmore, who is also on the writing staff, said about season two, "The Office at its essence isn't a workplace show. That's just what it looks like. The Office is a romantic comedy. That's how it was set up. It's really a love story, a story of unrequited love. That's true from Michael's point of view, too, since he requires love." Mm. So it really is a love story at its core. It's just that a lot of people don't know how to give it or how to take it. So it's not really a workplace comedy. It's a love story disguised as a workplace comedy. So yeah, I think we also start to see that with like Jim and Pam, their love story is really, really budding in season two. And it just goes on from there. But yeah, so this book is really awesome. It highlights some like key episodes, as they call them. The Dundies is one of those key episodes, which we obviously already covered. So I think it would be great to kind of like speak from this book every now and then.
I love that.
Yeah.
And it's so true, right? Because I do think if you're someone who has a hard time getting into The Office, mm-hmm. there's more underneath the surface, right? I'm not saying it's for everyone, but the unrequited love. I mean, even Michael Scott is a character. He's so goofy and right offbeat and off-putting sometimes. But underneath it, he, as we'll discuss in this episode, just really loves his employees and wants to be loved by his employees.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I think it makes him more like relatable and personable as a character. And you really start to feel for him, you know, as you see his character come out and his personality develop too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So really, really good insight there. And I love that they have like cast and crew comments on it as well.
We'll have to read from that more.
Yes, we definitely will. The Office Bible. So that was my Dundee. I ordered that book like over a year ago and I forgot that I had it. And I randomly found it tonight. And I was like, why haven't we been using this?
We've been busy, okay?
We have been busy. We have been busy. So anyway, I think that's enough chit chat. We can get into Beat or Bear.
Let's do it.
Okay. Bring it on. I'm ready.
Are you really, though? I just want to make sure.
I think so. Okay. I have notes.
Okay. Beat or Bear? Mm-hmm. Michael's Halloween costume.
I'm going to say Beat because I personally have done paper mache before, and that shit is hard. Not only did he do paper mache, but he put clothes on it.
It is paper mache next to his head all day. I mean, that's impressive.
And he carries it in like a bowling ball bag.
Doesn't he say he sent away from a catalog or something?
Oh, maybe he did. So he didn't make it. He didn't actually make it.
I don't remember.
Am I giving him more credit than credit is due?
Still.
It's still creative.
He wore it. Yes. Okay.
So Beat.
Beat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number two, Dwight's special skills on his resume.
The martial arts.
Yes. Martial arts training.
I'm going to give that a beat as well because I'm all for a very detailed and thorough resume.
Hmm.
So Beat.
And he probably had like beet throwing on there as well. So that's
beet farming weirdo.
Fitting. Okay. Michael's role playing his firing of an employee with another employee.
I want to say Beat only because it probably was good that he practiced it on someone else before going to do the actual thing.
Fair. I'll take it. Especially Michael Scott.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, how about the employee Devin's reaction after he's fired?
With the car, you're saying?
Yeah, the pumpkin just on the car. Whole reaction. Yeah.
His whole reaction. Yeah, so I'm going to say Bear because he did go a little postal. As, like, Michael was afraid of when he was talking to Hank beforehand.
He threw a pumpkin on his car.
Which, like, that could have shattered the windshield. And also, if that sits in the sun for any amount of time, it's probably going to bake on to the car. Mm. Really unfortunate.
You seem like you've really thought this through, Savannah.
So, Bear for that one. Bear for Devin.
Okay, Bear for Devin. What about Michael's reaction to the firing?
I want to say Bear because I hate vomit, but I want to give him a beat as well because he's being sympathetic and he's being like an empath. He's feeling the, you know,
the weight.
Sorrow. Yeah. For firing. He feels bad. He's affected by this.
Oh, it is tearing him up inside.
Yeah. His guts.
And outside.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get into our episode recap.
Perfect. Let's do it. All right. right, it's episode recap time. We're going to dissect this episode titled Halloween.
Halloween.
Halloween. Halloween in March.
Yeah.
Okay. So this episode opens with Michael walking in with a briefcase and a bowling ball bag that is supposedly containing his costume. But
classic.
He gets into his office and he's talking to Jan's receptionist, or the corporate office's receptionist, right?
Presumably, yeah. Right? Sherry? I don't think she ever comes back, but...
Right. So Michael's talking to her and he's like, you know, it's Michael returning Jan's call. And she's like, oh, she's in a meeting, but she just wants the name of the person you're firing.
Mm. And Michael knew this was coming. He was dreading picking up the phone and calling Jan back. Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have a name to give. He's indecisive.
Because he's supposed to fire someone and he hasn't.
Because he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to upset people.
He wants to be their friend. It's kind of cute.
And again, this is the constant reminder that downsizing is the
present.
The dark undertone of this whole time.
Especially for Michael, who doesn't want to take any responsibility as boss.
He doesn't want to do it. So he's left this horrible decision until Halloween because it's very scary stuff.
And that's what he tells Pam, at least.
So everyone in the office is in costume today. Well, mostly everyone. Like, aside from, like, Ryan and Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is in costume. So I think we should kind of run through what everyone is dressed up as.
Yes, 100%. Okay. So Michael, as we mentioned, has a paper mache head attached to his shoulder. So he's like twins.
Like double-headed? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's supposed to be funny.
Like a Siamese twin?
I don't know. I just think it's supposed to be funny. So he keeps moving around with the head. He'll like take it off sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's very weird.
Yes, and then we have Angela. She, of course, is dressed as a cat, as a white cat. Mm-hmm. And my suspicion is that she's Sprinkles.
Sprinkles?
That's my suspicion. She's wearing, like, a fluffy white skirt. She's even got fake eyelashes on.
You might be right.
Yeah, Sprinkles.
You might be right there. Kevin is a superhero. Specifically a Dunder Mifflin superhero?
Yes, he's wearing what looks like an Incredibles like outfit.
Oh, he does look like Mr. Incredible.
But it has Dunder Mifflin on the chest. And he's got like a little like Hamburglar eye mask.
Can you imagine someone in your office showing up in that tight? Oh no.
You know what?
Oh no.
I'm gonna have to shout out my friend Mason that I work with. Not only is he a day one listener of the pod, he actually wore like a company superhero costume at our like end of year conference begrudgingly, but he did a great job.
Mason.
So shout out to Mason.
That's impressive.
So yes, actually.
So you can imagine.
Yeah.
Kelly is Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz.
Yes, but Michael suggests she should have come in with a soccer ball and cleats because bend it like Beckham.
Which I actually wrote a paper on for my sports counseling certificate.
I have to say, that's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Me too.
When I went through, so I played soccer for a stint, but it was like a phase. I would like watch the movie with my soccer ball. I was feeling inspired.
That is honestly one of the best movies. I'm gonna send you my final thesis paper.
It's so good. It's so good. Yeah, I need to read that.
Okay, so Kelly's Dorothy.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar is dressed as a generic woman. He's wearing a dress, a blonde wig.
Yeah, and as Michael says, he's finally showing his true colors. And Oscar's kind of like, what? What do you mean?
What are you implying?
Meredith, we aren't really sure what she is, but she's a very scary, like, injured witch type thing.
Why do you think she's injured?
Because her brains are coming out.
Oh, yeah. Maybe she's like a zombie.
Maybe. But why is she green?
Yeah.
And has like a wart. I don't know.
She does have a wart.
And she's wearing all black. Or it's like the thing from the Black Lagoon or whatever that children's book is.
She's like a generic scary monster.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And she's injured. And it took a long time for her to put the makeup on.
She's injured. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And she even did her hands.
No, she didn't. And then it cuts to her just like putting lotion on her hands. Yeah. Oh man.
Oh my God. Okay, so Pam, then we have Pam.
She's a black cat. Classic. She's, like, basic, yeah.
Classic. That's my go-to, like, office Halloween costume every year, like, in real life. I just wear cat ears. And I'm like, I'm Pam as a cat.
I'm not a cat. I'm Pam as a cat.
Jim is three-hole punch Jim, which is different because he's not plain white Jim. He's three-hole punch.
Iconic.
Very iconic.
The costume that's not really a costume. Perfect for Jim, who for some reason initiates all these games, as we've talked about.
Puts in a lot of effort.
Puts in a lot of effort. And then he's not a costume guy. He's too cool for costumes.
Right.
That doesn't go together for me.
No, same.
Well, Dwight, this goes together for Dwight's personality. Mm-hmm. He spent a lot of money on a big Sith Lord costume. He's not a monk. He's a Sith Lord. And he has, like, a lightsaber that lights up.
Yeah. And he's, like, done his makeup and everything.
Oh, he looks terrifying.
He looks scary and wears his hood up all day. He's taking it very seriously. Toby is wearing, like, silk pajamas.
Slippers.
And I'm thinking, to me, he looks like Hugh Hefner.
I think that's who he's supposed
to be.
Because
it's like red pajamas and like a black robe and it's like all silk.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is so interesting for Toby because he's like the blandest character.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be like this stud for Halloween.
Ew.
I know. It's kind of weird.
And then lastly, we have Devin, who we think is a hobo.
I guess. He has kind of a cobbled together plaid jacket on. Yeah. Weird little hat. And he has like maybe dirt smudged on his pants.
Yeah, on his and pants. on his face too. I think. But
so maybe he is like.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or maybe like a hobo clown. I don't know.
I was thinking a clown too. Yeah. I don't know.
Because he has like a colorful like floral tie or something weird that's like out of place. I don't know. We don't really know. Doesn't matter. He gets fired anyway.
And honestly, it does not matter.
No.
Creed. Creed is a vampire.
Creed is a vampire. He's wearing a set of fake plastic teeth at his desk all day.
Yep.
So that's cute.
So that's all the costumes in the office. And we see various people talking to each other about them. During this whole day, Michael is walking around the office feeling very down.
Mm-hmm.
He's checking in with people. He's saying these things like, yep, we're all going to be okay. And people are starting to get a little suspicious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's also asking accounting if they can find like an extra $50K plus benefits in the budget.
Well, and then he also asks everyone if they're okay with a 10% decrease in their salary because that'll make up for the money that they need to save.
So needless to say, everyone figures out that somebody's getting fired.
Correct. And then at this point, Michael goes down to Hank, the security guard. I love Hank too.
That actor died recently.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. I think that's so. Sad. Continue what you're saying. I'll look it up.
So he goes down to Hank and he's just talking to him and being like, I just want to make sure you're available in case anyone goes postal. Like, you got your pepper spray on you. Like, are you able to be here? And then he's also like, wait a minute. Are you on our payroll or on the building? Because he's considering firing Hank he's as like, well.
If I can get rid of Hank, that would solve all my problems.
All his problems. Yeah. And Hank is like, no, the building pays me. And he's like, damn it. So while Michael is going around on his little whatever firing crusade that he's doing, Pam and Jim, of course, are getting together and they're doing a prank on Dwight.
So the latest installment of Pam and Jim against Dwight includes posting Dwight's resume, including all his special skills everywhere in the internet.
Glassdoor, monster.
Craigslist.
Yeah. Monster. So because of this, Dwight ends up getting all these calls about like employers interested in hiring him and all this stuff. And this one guy calls him and is like going over his resume. And Dwight's like, where did you get that? Like, how did you get my resume? And he's like, no, I'm flattered, but like, I just don't understand where it came from. Like, maybe a satisfied customer posted it online somewhere or something. Like, what satisfied customer posts like your job information?
Knows your resume.
Yeah.
First of all.
Yeah. And then Dwight is like, wait, is my martial arts information on there? And the guy's like, no. And he's like, I'm going to have to supplement that. Some of your fax number.
He's like, what do you mean not relevant?
Right, right.
So Jim and Pam are getting a kick out of this. And while they are looking at all these other jobs Dwight could get, and I think some of them are like within Dunder Mifflin. They're mm-hmm. looking at other branches. Mm-hmm. While they're doing that, Pam goes to Jim and says, hey, listen, you should actually apply for that job in Maryland.
Right.
Like, it's a step up. Cumberland Mills, maybe. Cumberland Mills. It's a step up. Yeah. It's a pay raise. And Jim gets bummed out. And Pam notices this, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the first time between them where you really see the weirdness of how much Jim is obsessed with Pam.
For sure. And I almost wonder if Pam was suggesting that he do that so that she could, like, forget about him and get on with her life and actually marry Roy and, like, not be kissing other people in Chili's while she's engaged. I don't know. Because, like, when Jim is there, especially, like, working right in front of her and he sees her every day, she, like, I don't know. He's, like, irresistible to her. You know what I mean? She can't help herself. Yeah.
Even them goofing on Dwight now. And she's like, you should, like, don't take this the wrong way, but you should apply for that job. And Jim is a little shocked, right? He thought they were doing their thing. Right. So that's, again, that's the love story underneath all the funny office comedy.
Yeah.
So as Pam and Jim are pranking Dwight, Jim gets a talking head.
Mm-hmm.
So he's basically saying, honestly, like, y'all, like, talking to the cameras, Michael does not have the slightest clue who he's going to fire.
Mm-mm.
He's saying it's really going to be the first person to give him a dirty look in the hallway. He's kind of talking shit on Michael, right? And Michael, in the background, overhears.
Mm.
He clears his throat and he says, Jim, can I speak with you in my office?
Yep.
So they go into Michael's office. Pam's a little worried.
Mm-hmm.
The door shuts. And Michael says, help me.
Michael wants Jim to role play a firing with him. So basically,
just right over his head.
So basically, Jim plays Michael and Michael plays Creed.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah. And Jim's like, so you're firing Creed. And Michael says, I never said that.
Right. Right. Exactly. And so during the role play... You know, Jim is like, you know, we're going to have to let you go. Budget cuts, whatever. He's like super chill about it. Michael is like, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to kill myself. And it's all your fault. And he's like just super overreactive. Totally reacting in a way that Creed would not react, in my opinion.
He's preparing himself for the worst case scenario.
Yeah, right. The other thing is he kind of sort of jokingly tries to fire Pam at one point when she comes into his office. She's like, you wanted me? And he's like, yeah. And he's just like checking in with her and saying how he has to do this thing and has to fire somebody. And he says something like alludes to it being a man. And she's like, oh, so it's a man that's getting fired. And he's like, no, not necessarily. Could be a woman. Could be you. And she's like, I always do my job or something like that. Like, she defends herself. And he's like, yeah, but sometimes you let the calls go to voicemail.
Ooh.
And I'm like, yes, thank you. Because in Office Olympics, she used automatic voicemail and she had 59 voicemails. Finally.
But this whole episode is like, I mean, there are no boundaries, right? Everyone knows Michael has to fire someone today and also knows he has no idea who he's going to fire. So it's fair game.
That is true. So he ends up pulling the real Creed in.
Mm-hmm. Who's been there 15 years and 3 months.
And 3 months. Long time.
Longer than Michael.
Exactly. Long time. So Michael is like, so you're going to be like retiring soon, right? Like, pretty old. You've been working here a long time. And Creed's like, no, I need the money. I have nephews and I buy them stuff. Like,
he's like, I made some bad investments.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Michael's just gaslighting him. He's really like, you don't need this job. Like,
trying to talk him out of his own job. So he does officially end up firing Creed.
Eventually.
Mm-hmm. And Creed responds.
He is very frustrated. He's very upset. He's like, have you started the paperwork yet?
Uh-huh.
And Michael's like, it's right here. And Creed said, undo it. He's like, let's fight this thing like the old days. And Michael's like, what old days? But Creed is very upset, and since it's not officially done, right, trying to convince Michael to back out of it.
Undo it!
Undo it! So while this is happening, everyone hears this, right? They're assuming he fired Creed.
Mm-hmm.
They hear the whole escalation back and forth.
Right.
Eventually, Creed says, fire Devin. I am so much better at my job than Devin. So you're like, okay, whatever. Creed leaves Michael's office by saying, thanks, Mike, or whatever. I'm so glad we could figure this out.
Right.
And then Michael calls in Devin.
Devin, the hobo clown. So he sits Devin down and kind of tries to give the same delivery that he gave to Creed. You know, there's cutbacks, there's downsizing, budget cuts, all that. Exactly. And Devin, having heard literally just minutes ago that he fired Creed, Devin is like, what the hell, man? Like, you just fired Creed. Like, what's going on here? And Michael's like, well, I can't go back on it now. I'll look like an idiot. And then Devin's like, so you're firing me because you don't want to look like an idiot? Like, what the fuck?
Like, he just happens to be on the chopping block.
Right.
And he knows how incompetent Michael is. So there's no real plan here. There's no real validation.
Yes.
Someone's got to get fired. And it happens to be Devin.
Yep.
So understandably upset.
Yeah. And Michael is just kind of like, well, like, you know, them's the breaks. That's it. Like, he's just kind of like firm in that. And then
as firm as he can be, because he also wants to be his friend so bad.
Right. So he is like giving that weird, like, wishy-washy delivery, like trying to be firm, but also like, you know, in a way that's like unsure.
He's so sad about it, too. It's very, very uncomfortable, very unprofessional.
Yes, I agree.
So as Devin sort of storms out of the office, Michael stops him, and everyone's watching.
Right.
And Michael wants to give him a gift to preserve their friendship. What is that gift?
Out of his wallet, he pulls a paper Chili's coupon to hopefully, you know, mend the wounds that he has now given Devin.
So Devin rips up this coupon as he's saying, you know, Phyllis, Stanley, Pam, Jim, the temp, all the people in the office besides Michael, Creed, and Dwight. So three people that he knows, I mean, Dwight being Michael's right-hand man, Creed having saved his own skin, throwing Devin under the bus, all people he knows that were involved in his firing. So he's calling out everyone else's name and says, if anyone wants to meet me for a drink, I'm going to Poor Richard's or wherever.
Yep. And so then pretty much all the people he called off, like, follow him and go. Maybe except for Angela, because she's worried about the party not happening.
There's a Halloween party today.
She's on the party planning. She made cookies for this, okay?
She did. And Pam made brownies.
Even though she was supposed to bring chips and dip, and Angela was mad about it.
So as everyone's leaving the office, Pam catches Jim. And she has to apologize because Jim was so upset about her suggesting he take another job.
Yeah.
And she says, you know, seriously, if you left here, like, I'd blow my brains out. And there's a talking head of Jim laughing, and he's like, that's just a figure of speech. Like, if she wasn't here, I wouldn't blow my brains out. I would, however, take that job in Maryland. So he's really solidifying he is only there for Pam. Right?
Who's engaged.
So then we cut to the Halloween party, which is a little less fun.
Yeah, because it's just four people.
It's four people. Michael's sitting in a chair by the window
with his double head,
saying he should have. He's like, Dwight, you're so unlikable. I should have fired you. You're the least popular one. And Creed, Angela, and Dwight are like standing in the corner making small talk. So the whole scene is just very, very sad.
Very depressing.
Very depressing.
And so after the party, towards the end of the episode, Michael calls Jan back.
Yeah.
Finally gets a hold of Jan, and he explains that he did fire Devin. He did fire someone.
He says the human being man's name was Devin. Like, he's dead. Like, he's dead.
And Jan is like happy, maybe even impressed that Michael actually got something done.
Yeah, I think she does say, I'm impressed.
Pretty happy. And he's like, yeah, well, my Halloween is ruined.
He's like, are you happy with that? Good. I'm glad you're happy. He's so upset. But again, like, not the worst thing in the world to have some emotion in the corporate setting.
Right.
Kind of the worst thing in the world to have a boss who can't make a decision.
Yeah.
But it's twofold there.
Right, right. And so the very end of the episode is Michael cleaning off the pumpkin from his car, his company Chrysler. And then he's lonely at home explaining Halloween costumes that he's worn in the past.
There's like a voiceover, right? So it shows him just like alone in the dark in his apartment.
Alone in the dark, right?
It's like just like the TV on. So just kind of, I think, his like maybe lonely, sad existence and why he's so passionate about his office workers. But over it, doesn't he say, like, oh, I was Monica Lewinsky one year.
Stained dress and everything.
Yeah. What else? Do you remember what else he was?
I do remember. So he was Monica Lewinsky. Yes. He was Monica Lewinsky twice, actually.
Oh, yes.
He was Janet Jackson's boob.
Oh.
He was O.J. Simpson and also a microcephalic penis. I can't even picture what that looks like in costume form.
I don't think you want to. Yeah.
So very interesting array of costumes that he's done.
And he also greets some trick-or-treaters at the door.
Which is so sweet, actually, because I love when they, like, have kids interact with Steve Carell on the set, because I feel like the interactions are so genuine. Like, he seems like he's so good with kids.
Yeah.
And it's really, really sweet.
And Michael Scott is, too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, again, it gives him that sympathetic edge where he's, like, lonely at home and he gets so excited. He's like, oh, what are you? Tell me what you are.
Yeah.
The kids are like, I'm a lion.
Yes. And it makes him, like, just very endearing to the audience. And he kind of redeems himself in that way because it's just so sweet.
Yeah. So, again, developing Michael Scott's character. End of the day, he tries to fire Toby, Stanley, Creed, finally Devin.
Finally Devin.
Yeah, he finally got it right, but it was a tough day.
Okay, let's hear some trivia.
It's time for some trivia.
Mm-hmm.
Dwight's resume was actually posted to Monster.com.
Like, for real?
It was for real posted to Monster.com. You can go look it up. Go find Dwight Schrute's resume. Yes.
Stop.
Yep.
That's kind of amazing.
Isn't that great?
I think we're going to have to check that out later. Maybe we can read it at the end of the episode.
Dwight K. Schrute.
Martial arts. Okay. So, in the same vein as Dwight, while Dwight is one of the coworkers Devin told to go to hell in this episode, in the finale episode of the entire series, Dwight states that he likes Devin and he has rehired him following Creed's death, quote unquote death. Mm-hmm. So he actually ended up liking Devin, even though Devin told him to go to hell in this episode.
That was the only time they interacted, I think, too.
I think so.
Devin's from not what we really saw. In it.
Yeah.
So Greg Daniels wanted to do an episode where someone was fired, but he specifically wanted to do it from the point of view of the person doing the firing. So that's how we get Michael Scott's wishy-washy back and forth.
Right.
And Larry Wilmore was the one who came up with the story idea of Michael having to fire someone while they were both in Halloween costumes.
I love that. Also, just like, to think of that in a real life situation, I'm the kind of person that does dress up in the office. So I'm like, if I was to be dressed up as like a little cat or just something like, you know, out of the ordinary, and then I'm getting fired and I have to like pack my shit wearing this costume. And well, like
Meredith does say, she was like, I really wish I could take this off, but I need the special glue or whatever.
Oh my
that's
God.
At home.
She left it at home.
She's like, I really hope I don't get fired.
She has
in
like
this.
Fake brains coming out of her head.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's great. So this episode does have a few firsts. So this is the first time that we see Pam with her hair all the way down. Essentially.
Oh my gosh. I read that there was a big meeting about that because
really?
They thought she was going to be too pretty or some sexist. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So we'll just leave that there, but okay. Go on.
Okay. This is the first air five between Pam and Jim after their prank.
Yes.
Yeah.
They do that a lot. Yeah.
They do. That was the first one in this episode. And this is the first time that we find out Michael's middle name is Gary.
Michael Gary Scott.
Michael Gary Scott.
And Dwight Kurt Schrute. Those are the only ones we know, right? I don't think we know any other
middle
names.
I think we know
names.
Pam's, but I can't remember what it is off the top of my head.
Something really Pam bland.
Something, yeah, for sure.
I don't think we know anyone else's. Okay, we'll look into that. So it was predetermined that they weren't going to bring on a new character just to fire them. Mm. So I think it was narrowed down to Devin and Creed, right? Hence the back and forth in the actual episode.
Right.
But they weren't sure which one. And then they actually shot two versions of the firing scene. One where it actually happens with Creed, one where it happens with Devin.
Okay.
But Devin had a like different contract or work opportunity come up, so that settled it.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so The term going postal entered the United States slang after a series of incidents in the 80s and 90s of Postal Service workers shooting and killing colleagues and members of the public.
Whoa!
It can refer to workplace massacres or, more generally, any violent outburst.
I actually never knew or
really
thought about that.
Yeah, I learned that in my serial killing class. But
oh, yikes. This again.
Yeah, super interesting, though, because, I mean, it's just something that people throw around. You don't ever think that there's really like a
backstory. So right. Postal, why were the postal workers so?
I mean, I would guess they were just very disgruntled. I mean,
like overworked, underpaid.
Yeah. And I mean, I think postal workers, they have very grueling schedules, like delivering mail, and they work holidays and all that good stuff. So it can be a lot and very stressful, I think, maybe.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for the psychology behind that.
Oh, you're welcome.
My last piece of trivia, they had a meeting to decide how the three cat costumes, so it was Phyllis, Angela, and Pam,
right,
would be different. Angela has like two little whiskers, like you said, all white. Pam is in all black with little ears, and Phyllis is in leopard print.
Yes, which is so funny, like so sassy for Phyllis.
Really just reflects all their personalities.
Yes.
All right, I think that wraps up our trivia, so we will be back soon with Kolak and Dundies.
Sounds good.
Kolak.
I was trying to make like a fire sound.
I got it.
Like like a crackling, maybe like a.
I thought that I was pretty good, actually. Okay. Yeah. Nice. What's your Kolak?
So my Kolak today, as usual, I have like one and a half. So yeah, my first one.
We have to talk about how that's a regular thing for you. It's not two and it's not one. It's one and a half.
My problem is that I have analysis paralysis with everything and I can never just choose one. I always have to bring up at least one and a half.
But two could be, right? You could round up to a full two.
I could.
But one of them's not as what?
Strong? Prominent. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Continue.
In my mind. Okay. So the first one I have is that towards the beginning of the episode when Angela and Pam are setting up the conference room for the party, Angela bitches to Pam, and I think Phyllis is there too, about how no one's costume is scary. And Meredith is in the room. The scary injured witch is in the room.
You're right. She says, oh, we said we were going to be scary this year and no one did it.
Yes, but my thing is, she's dressed as a fucking fluffy white cat. What is scary about that? Why isn't she scary if they're supposed to be scary?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Talk the talk. It's so annoying.
Yes. And Meredith, by far, is the scariest out of all of them.
Meredith looks terrifying.
I thought you were going to say terrible.
Her hands are so dry. No, she's actually kind of, doesn't she have like grease paint or something? Like, she's actually kind of scary looking.
She is. She is. And Angela does say, she is like, yes, you look scary. You look cute or something like that. She says something like weird and offhanded. And she's like, you look cute. You even did your hands.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's like Pat. She's like, oh, you look great.
Yes. Yeah. And Meredith's like, no, I didn't. She's so self-conscious. Oh, my God. Okay. So my half Kolak is, I don't really know if it's a Kolak, not necessarily like a hot take, but I want to call this bitch out because she bothers me. Pam's auto voicemails finally caught up to her in this episode. As I mentioned earlier, Michael like pretended to fire her because she sometimes sends stuff to voicemail.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know if it's a Kolak, but I kind of love it because he's kind of like half-ass calling her out on her shit, you know?
Do you think it is that though?
I mean, I don't know necessarily about like the Office Olympics incident, but she do be doing that.
So he's just like, yeah, he's just, I guess
it's kind of funny though, because it's like you think Michael doesn't really pay attention to that stuff, but it's like he's like, I'm watching you. Like, I see that shit, you know.
I thought it was more just a quick remark to her, you know.
See, like, it went deeper with me because I'm overanalyzing her and she is under my skin.
So. No, I could see that. That's a good one. I could see that.
Yeah. So those are mine.
My Kolak is two cold walks.
Oh, two. You rounded up.
Both okay. forearms. Yeah. One, Stanley says he has kids in college.
I remember hearing that when I rewatched it. And I'm like, but I thought she was in Catholic girls' school, which is like grade school.
And one kid, right?
Just, right, correct. Just
the daughter.
Unless, do you think...
Oh, from his...
Maybe his wife, maybe like his stepkids, maybe? Does he have stepkids?
Not that I know of. Not that I know of. Yeah,
I don't know. I don't think we ever get an explanation about that either.
Yeah, and he specifically says, I have kids, plural, in college. Michael, make a decision. I'm not taking a pay cut.
Correct. Right, exactly. And also, because I feel like, and this may be irrelevant, but I feel like later on when his daughter comes... And she's like crushing on Ryan and stuff. I feel like she's like in high school at that time. And that's later on. So I'm like, who is in college right now?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point, though. He hasn't been married. Maybe it's
her kids know. Or something.
I think it's just a continuity.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my other one is Oscar's in a dress, as we discussed. And Michael says, showing your colors. Ha ha. And Oscar's a little offended. Does that imply that Michael assumes Oscar is gay? Because that directly contradicts something that happens later on in the series, where Michael is shocked to find out about Oscar's sexuality.
That's true. And does that also mean that Michael assumes that all gay men dress up like women?
Yes. Oh, 100%. But I just, like, the fact that he even, like, called him out like that implies some level of, like, intuition or, like, and... That's not his character, right? And especially in the other episode, he's so ignorant that he, like, accidentally outs him or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that, watching that back, I'm like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Like, he seems very, like, in tune and, like, evil eye in the sky type person in this episode. Like, he's very with it, which, like you said, is not...
Not in line with his character.
Yeah, he's like calling people out on their shit.
A little bit. Maybe you're right. Well, and again, we're really trying to make him sympathetic in this season. So that works in some ways, right? To develop his character.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the cold walk.
Those are good ones. Yeah. Your two full cold walks.
Yeah, so 3.5 total.
Yeah.
3.5 cold walks, folks. Ding, ding, ding.
Okay. So, you ready to do some Dundies?
Dundies, Dundies, Dundies.
This is the best Dundies ever! Okay, so I want to hear yours first. Because I see it on the notes here, and I want to know the explanation behind it.
I'm giving this episode the "Why Are You Torturing Me?" Dundee.
I think you mean, why are you torturing me?
This is what Michael says to Dwight when...
That reverb is crazy.
Yeah.
My bad.
That went on for a long time.
You look like you're, like, jarred. Jesus.
I can hear it in my brain. So this is what Michael says to Dwight when Dwight looks at the cameras and says he's going to go leverage his offer, and then walks into Michael's office and says, I was just offered a job with better pay at Cumberland Mills, and I turned it down out of loyalty to this company. Mm-hmm. And Michael is like, can you get it back? That would solve all my problems. And Dwight's like, well, then I would have to move to Maryland. And Michael's like, can you get it? Can you get it back? Like, please go get it.
And Dwight's like, I could, but actually, no.
They didn't offer me the job. And Michael is... He just thought he had the answer to all of his struggles.
It was right there.
And so he's so frustrated with Dwight. He says, why are you torturing me? And I just love how he says it. But I'm giving this episode that Dundee because it is the epitome of Michael Scott. This is how it feels to him. He signed up, right? He accepted his contract as being a boss of the office. Yep. He loves it when it's good, when it gives him power.
The perks, and he gets a convertible.
All the good stuff. He can say everyone's his friend, but... Mm-hmm. The rest of it feels like torture for someone who wants so desperately to be liked.
Ooh, that's deep. Mm-hmm. I like that
one. So this gets the why are you torturing me, Dundee, which is so funny. But also, that's how it feels for Michael Scott. It feels like Jan, corporate.
Yep.
It feels like he's being literally tortured because he has no conflict resolution skills, right? Correct. He has no concept of boss professional relationship. Mm-hmm. He just wants everyone to love him, mm-hmm. and him to love everyone, and that to be okay.
Well, that, and not only in the office, but he's just like that in real life, in the wild. Correct. In general, like
he, in the wild, Michael Scott in the wild,
using his pants as a hat or but he's just like that in general, and it just kind of alludes to the person that he really is. He seeks so much validation and love from other people, and it's like literally torture to him when he right. can't attain that, or you know, something gets in his way, or people aren't going with his plans or whatever it right. is.
Right. It's that yeah. level of discomfort is yeah. so like so bad for him. Yes. Yeah. So that is the Dundee.
That's a good one. Thank you. That went deeper than I expected it to go.
Yes. Okay. What's your Dundee?
All right. Mine also has to do with Michael. It's like I shot him in the stomach with a cannon, Dundee. I'm sorry. I'll repeat that. It's like I shot him in the stomach with a cannon, Dundee. This, I guess this kind of goes hand in hand with this because it goes to, you know, him being empathetic and feeling really terrible for having to deliver bad news to people and what have you. He says this when he is describing what it felt like to fire Devin.
Yeah.
And then he vomits immediately after he says
this. Well, as he's talking to the cameras about it, he's like crying and like,
he's upset.
Dry heaving into his trash can.
Yes. He's upset. And so I gave him this Dundee mostly because I think it's really funny. But also, to your point, it alludes to the person that he is. Mm-hmm. Like,
he felt, it's like I shot him in the stomach with a cannon.
And when in reality, it's like people get fired every day. Devin's going to go find another job. He's going to be fine. Like, this is what bosses do.
It sucks. Like, and
this is what companies do.
This is reality, right? Exactly. Reality is what he's struggling to.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So is it an over-exaggeration?
Yes.
Is he letting this worry him way too much? Yes. But it's all part of being Michael Scott. So,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Those Dundies were perfectly really paired. Good.
They were. And we didn't even know it.
Wow.
Michael Scott.
Kismet. So that was Halloween.
That was so fun.
That was fun.
That was a great episode.
If you like this episode, go rate us, review us, subscribe. We love hearing from you all.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please. Those ratings and reviews help us tremendously, and we love seeing our loyal listeners, you know, talk about us.
Give feedback.
Yeah. We love feedback. Any constructive criticism is amazing. We love it all. So you can reach out to us at whatshesaidpod.dm on Instagram and at Gmail for anything. Again, those guest spots are still available. We have some really great episodes coming up, so you won't want to miss out on those if they're your favorite and you want to chime in. We would love to have you. So I think we covered it. That was a good one.
That left me satisfied and smiling.
That's what she said.